Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD, brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? I'm Troy Skinner, this week joined by Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, and Michael Payne with Take a Stand Ministries. And he's too humble for me to say founder of, so I won't say that too often, but founder of Take a Stand Ministries. And we've had a chance to visit with each other before coming on the air for the show today, and you don't get the benefit of all of that, but hopefully you'll catch some nuggets, because we've actually had a fascinating time right before we come on the air.
Yeah.
So I don't want us to get bogged down and belabor, you know. You ask somebody, hey, what's your testimony? And that could be 4 hours. Or tell me a little bit about the work you do, and that could be a day and a half. Or, you know, so being sensitive to time, I would like kind of a general lay of the land. You have a pretty powerful testimony.
Mm.
And then there's a pretty powerful journey from that point forward. So if you can, like, give us a 30-second version of your, you know, or something close to your testimony, then talk about some of the things you've done over the last decade or so since you become a Christian.
Well, thank you. I am 59 years old. Obviously, I was a teenager during the 60s, which was the sex, drugs, and rock and roll generation, and I...
Is that what that was?
I've
been wondering what that was.
Yeah. I could to fulfill the whims and the hopes of all that lie, because that's exactly what it was. It was a lie, and I participated fully, to the fullest of my ability, to that. So I worked hard. I was brought up to live a good, honest life. And in retrospect, I can look back and it wasn't much honest about it at all. But I worked hard. I was self-employed for 30 years, drank hard, drugged, did the coke, did the smoking, and all of that drinking from the time I was 15 until I was 49, and just many very sexually
immoral. That's 34 immoral. Years of drinking and doing drugs.
And it
working.
Didn't have any effect on me. Look how good I look.
Yeah. You're sharp. You can read. You can talk.
I can still talk without slurring. Thank you.
Well, your hair fell out, though.
Well, I shaved that off. I don't have some of it fell out. Some of it was pulled out, so I shaved the rest before I went to Iraq 5 years ago. And I keep it there. Don't have to worry about being accused of having a comb over. So I did all the medications through all those years, drinking and trying to fill that void. You know, you hear a lot about a God-shaped void that you can't fill with anything but God. And I tried. And as many who do not know Jesus do try, because that's the nature of us. And so at the age of 49, at the end of my second marriage and everything falling apart, and my two children from my first marriage couldn't stand me, the Lord, I see his drawing in my life, because I had quit drinking a year before that, still smoking the weed, but the Lord I was thrown out of my house by my ex-wife, and I took a farmhouse in the country. I was just led to go there, and all I did was come home from work at night, read the Bible until I fell asleep 3-4 hours later, get up.
This is 10 years ago?
10 years ago, and came to, there was a kind of a trauma in the middle of that when I thought the Lord was going to fix that marriage, but then that didn't happen.
Painful.
I was so despondent that I was contemplating taking my life at that moment, and that's actually the devil working on your head, convincing you that it's never going to get better and that you have no hope, and I was at a place of... if this is the way it's going to be the rest of my years, I don't want any more of it. So I'm playing with my 9mm, and that night the Lord, the devil's trying to draw me to pull the trigger, and I really can say that the Spirit of the Lord drew me to him, saying, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
So you were already at that point just spending your days reading the Bible.
Yes.
And yet, even after you're doing that, you're saying that you feel like the devil came in, depression, and you were ready to throw it all away.
Well,
even after you're already reading the Bible on a regular basis, and there was a moment of decision there in the midst of that.
There was a moment of decision, but I say to you again that none comes to the Father lest he is drawn of the Holy Spirit.
This is true.
And as I look back now that I know what that drawing of the Holy Spirit is, I can guarantee you that for at least a year there was some heavy drawing going on. But the
looking back, you can see the different.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
And I want to say to all out there that what I am here to tell you that everything that has been done in my life as far as being set free of drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sexual immorality, and et cetera, all of these things that are bondages, what God did for me, he will do for anyone who will but turn and look and ask. You don't have to know him, but you just say, here's what happened. I'd done the drugs and the drinking and all, and I said, I've tried all these other things. There's nothing left for me, but I'm going to try this God thing and see if there's anything in there. So I started reading this
King James Bible.
You know how dry reading King James Bible is?
If you have
no spiritual leading, that is some dry reading. But I just kind of delved into it.
Especially when you get to like Leviticus and Numbers.
That's hard. But you know, God is faithful to his word, and he is faithful even to us when we are not faithful to him. And so he drew me, and he saved my life. And as we've been speaking, I just want to tell people that my zeal is the devil beat me so hard. And this is who is doing it. Of course, I was complicit in all this. But the devil was beating me so hard and was discouraging me so much and cutting. And God allows these things. There's no doubt about it. But Paul says to us, he says, should I come for you with the whip or in a loving, kind, and gentle way? And I say to you that that was the whip, that the Lord was using that as a whip on me to bring me to a place.
So you're telling me that the Lord was letting the devil...
Absolutely does.
Come after you. And now that term, the devil coming after you, like, what do you mean by that? I mean, that sounds pretty dramatic. Did you see horns?
No, I didn't see any horns, but the depression is of the devil.
Depression is of the devil.
It's of the devil. I mean,
there's somebody out there that's depressed, you're saying that the devil is the cause of their depression.
Yes, it's, you know what they, the psychiatric world says, the medical world says that depression brings on or a lack of improperly balanced vitamins and minerals in you brings on depression. Okay.
Yeah, nutritionists say that.
Right.
I don't know if psychiatrists say that. They might say that.
Well, they give you medication for it. They try to balance you out. They try to give you medication. What I say to you is there's been research done, and your depression brings on this this imbalance, chemical imbalance. That's the term I'm looking for.
So you're saying the depression comes first, not the chemical imbalance.
The depression brings it on. Well, you don't eat properly when you're depressed, number one. Okay, so if you want to do it in a nutritional manner,
it's
that would be
it. It's not proper to stuff my face with pizza.
Well, sure it is. I do it all the time. and not when I'm depressed either. But I say to you that this depression is a tool of the devil to cause you to squeeze the trigger, cause you to leave your spouse, cause you to ignore your
Troy,
children.
Are you in agreement with that?
Cause you not to go to work, cause you to be unproductive in many areas.
You think depression is of the devil?
I think that everything is – I haven't really well thought it out, so I might end up regretting something I would say on the show. So I'll say that up front.
I like it when I take you these places.
But I would say that all things good are from God.
Okay.
Right? And all things bad are not of God. Now, just because it's not of God doesn't necessarily, in my mind, mean that it would have to be the devil. I think that we're fully capable as fallen. Those who aren't familiar with my stand on things, who haven't listened to this show before, I believe that we're all fallen, we're all sin filled, and our propensity is toward sin, even in our best moments, apart from the saving work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in one's life,
as the Bible says.
And that's why I believe that, because that's as the Bible says. So I think that I am fully capable of doing horrible things and subjecting myself to bad places and bad mindsets without any aid from Satan or any of his devil, demons or whatever. However, I also do believe, and that this is there are more people that claim to believe in God than claim to believe in the devil.
Right.
You know?
This is true.
So even in the church.
Yeah, even in the church. You're putting yourself in the minority, especially probably by saying that you believe that there is a devil and that he's active in the world and whatever. But I do believe that if somebody is depressed,
yeah,
is it possible that it's because you're being bombarded by thoughts from Satan?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think that it's also possible that you could, because of your own frailties and your own failings as a fallen individual, could probably bring yourself into a place of depression without any aid from the devil as well. So,
and my dad used to always say things like the world, the flesh, and the devil, meaning like the world at large, because it's so given over to sin, is likely to be depressing because the wages of sin is death. And so the devil could almost like leave, you know, go hang out on Saturn or something out, you know, for a period of time without, you know, and the world has enough sin in it that it's depressing, you know, and my flesh, I've got enough sin in me personally that, you know, it produces death in me or, you know, in my relationships with other people. And that's depressing. Nevertheless, sin is, you know, can be traced back to the devil, and he is certainly actively endeavoring to tempt and to lead people astray even now, and whatever demons, you know, are working with him. And so in that sense, I would say that it's of the devil, but in saying that, I don't think that, you know, every time that I'm personally depressed that the devil is right there himself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just, you know, that battle that I'm fighting through myself. It sounds like you generally agree with kind of what
you're totally
saying.
We're not in disagreement about this yet, and I don't want to lead anyone to think that I believe that the devil made me do it.
Right.
The devil doesn't make you do anything.
This is good, right?
There is an excuse. There's two words that are used a lot, reason and excuse. The reason I did it, the excuse I did it, and it, many times it's looked at the same thing. Mm. The reason that I did what I did is no excuse for what I did.
Mm.
Okay, so this is the reason that I drank. This is the reason that I chased the women. This is the reason that I smoked cigarettes. This is the reason that I snorted coke. This is the reason I smoked pot from 30 years. But that is no excuse for having done this. Okay, reasons that are reasons that draw us to be rebellious or disobedient are no excuse for that.
Yeah.
And the we are in a fallen world, yes,
yeah.
But the devil came in and spoke to Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Adam was sitting right there. He's sitting right there, and he watched all this go on. And you know, this isn't spoken about,
but he
wasn't in control of his house, and he didn't keep Eve's and his eyes on the Lord. He even took a bite of the apple. But so the devil didn't make Eve do this, but he sure came in and messed with her head. And I'm not saying that I see a devil in a red tail, but here's what I'm saying: the devil totally can put thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
And God put a spirit of depression on Saul. Mm-hmm. Correct? So all things, just because something in what we look at is bad doesn't mean God will not do it or allow it. He even said, how are we going to accomplish this? And someone there says, I'll do it. And God said, well, how are you going to do it? He said, I'll be a lying spirit. Now that was God allowing, ordaining, and it came.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
God has his
purposes. That'll play with your idea of God a little bit, you know, like is God the source then of evil?
No, he's not the source of evil.
Those kinds of things.
No, he's not the source of evil. There's nothing evil, and the Bible says this, and if we believe the Bible, we believe all of the Bible. Okay? Mm-hmm. But God does things for his purpose. Let us just take it says in the Bible, all governments are ordained of God.
Okay.
That doesn't mean they're all good.
Yeah, like Hitler's government or Stalin or you know,
Mao,
Satan.
All of these are wicked and evil, but they are allowed by God. See, God might not do things, but it's like Job. Here comes the devil. He comes swooping in, and God says, where you been all day? And he said, I've been going to and fro. And then God says to him, look at my servant Job. Now, God didn't do it, but he sure allowed the devil to do it.
Good distinction.
You know, now we haven't finished the whole testimony story, and I don't think we're going to because I don't want to now. Maybe on our next show, we'll pick up with part two of the testimony to start off and see where that goes. You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. the one who would be more likely to say the devil made him do it, Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, and the one less likely to say the devil made me do it, Michael Payne.
I'd be more likely we just said just a minute ago.
I'm just picking
What's
on
that red? You're the one wearing the red tie today. Maybe you're like the devil in a red tie.
Michael Payne is with Take a Stand Ministries, and part of what you'll hear as we march on through a few shows, hopefully, with Michael is Take a Stand Ministries does a variety of things, and one of the things Michael does is go overseas into areas of conflict in Afghanistan and Iraq and that sort of thing. I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but let's continue on this track a little bit. And
okay.
One of the things that Michael said right before I kind of reset and reintroduced everybody was talking about, you know, God allows this and he ordained that. And Jonathan kind of playfully said, well, does that mean God's, you know, the cause of evil? Is he the author of evil?
Here we go.
But that is a real, even in Christian circles, the things that, so far, there might be some nuanced things. There might be slightly different ways of phrasing it. But in general, the three of us on this show today are, I think, in agreement with just about everything that's been said and how it's been generally represented.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that all of Christendom is in agreement on this. We've had shows on the faith debate where we've had Christian pastors who got very upset with what we're talking about. What do you like? We were talking about the tsunami in Indonesia a number of years ago. Was it 2-3 years ago now?
Yep.
And God allowed that.
He certainly did.
Well, how could he have allowed that? He's a loving, merciful, gentle, kind God. There's no way he would allow that. And so it's a worldview question.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said that. How could he have allowed that?
Yeah.
He's a loving, merciful, filled with grace. He loves us to no end. He sent his son down here to die for us on the cross, one of the most horrible deaths you can imagine.
Okay.
So how could he allow that?
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's seen the legal scales. You know, you got the balance,
right,
one on each side.
With the blindfolded lady, is that the one?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Except the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court took that back off again.
Yeah.
Anyways, keep
okay.
going. Yeah,
but here's
we
the
have
point.
To make sure that we have
God is all of these things.
Yeah.
And I will say to you, he is so full of grace and mercy, he didn't snuff me out for some of the wicked little things I did. The pain I brought on my sons and on other people around me, okay?
So this is interesting. So you're saying that as somebody that came to Christ after some 35 years, 34 49. Years of drugs 40. And alcohol, mm-hmm. that to your mindset, something like a tsunami would not be a reflection of God being a mean God?
Well, let me finish the one to balance on the scales, and then we'll go right into that.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. We got the scales, and it's balanced.
Right.
Okay, and it's equally balanced. And what balances this scale? His wrath and his justice. God is a wrathful God.
So the balance on the one side is his love and his grace, and on the other side is his wrath,
his wrath
and his justice.
And these are the things, and he is unable to be unjust.
Hmm.
This is what the Bible says, right?
So are you saying the tsunami was his judgment?
I'm saying that it says in Matthew 24 or 26, it says that in the last days there will be earthquakes, there will be famine, there will be pestilence, there will be wickedness throughout the world.
So does that mean that God's going to send those?
No, God doesn't send it. He said it's here. He allows it. God is sovereign, totally sovereign, correct?
I believe that
if
he is
totally sovereign over everything in the universe, that means he had to allow it.
That means he had to
allow it.
He couldn't have chosen to
I
don't want to be, I don't want to be mean to those guys. I don't want to hurt those poor people that are living over there on the coast of India.
His word says if
I'm going to keep that earthquake from happening because I don't want them, you know, to
His word says if
suffer.
You die without having confessed his son with your lips and believe in your heart that he rose from the grave in the flesh, then you'll spend eternity in hell. That's what his word says.
So you're saying that, so then tell me what happened with the tsunami, that God allowed it. Why would God allow that?
I don't have all the answers for you, brother, other than these are the end days, and we are seeing many things in the world.
So your point is that God prophesied this ahead of time. Christ himself prophesied this mm-hmm. ahead of time. I just pulled up Matthew 24:7. It's also Mark and Luke, that he prophesied this. And so, therefore, it happened because it was prophesied, but you don't know that
this
you understand exactly why.
This is a sign of his soon coming, is what this says.
Sure. which doesn't necessarily explain then why it happens, just that you trust that if God allowed that, that there was a reason for him to do so.
I trust that because here, this is something that the I believe that the Lord has. It's a, it is a sweet gift that He has given me. And when I say gift, I mean it's because I don't try to analyze in my carnal mind and justify everything that God does. God does what He does, and I, if it lines up in the Word of God, then I'm going to get on board with Him.
Like how could God allow you to suffer for so long? Doing drugs and alcohol and destroying marriages and things falling apart. I mean, wouldn't it have been better for God to come along sooner in your life to help you out?
Sure, but I don't
know
where
God's was he all those
in.
Years.
See, I'm going to tell you something. When I was draft age during Vietnam and was going to be drafted, and I was scared to death to go into that war zone, and I went into the Air Force to avoid going into combat service because I was scared to death. I knew I was coming back in a body bag, and I didn't want to go. And so I did what I did, but I didn't, you know, whatever. But here's what the Lord did. After I came to the Lord and he told me I was going to Iraq and be embedded with the 1st Cavalry in Baghdad back in 2004, and then I was in Fallujah in November of 2004 at the battle. I wasn't at the Battle of Fallujah, but I was already booked to come in right in on the 20th of November. Well, the military kicked it off on the 11th, so the heavy-duty stuff was...
You were late for the battle.
Yeah, I was late for the battle, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying to you this. God spared my life for a time, okay? And he gave me opportunity and opportunity and opportunity to... time to turn. And when the day came on December 17, 1999, at the end of my pistol, thinking about ending my life, I came. And I will serve him the rest of my life, and I will tell everyone that I know, even my own relatives who believe in different things than I, that Jesus is the only way.
See, this is interesting, because on this show, we tend to have or try to get people to come on that will give an explanation for various things, and what you are giving to us is a confidence that God is a good God, and that whatever the explanation is, you're confident that it's going to be okay. Why are you so confident?
Because that's what the Bible says.
I mean, I've just pitched several dilemmas at you.
I'm confident because I've seen the peace that
you
that he has brought into my life.
He brought so the point is because of the peace that he brought into your life through what? Through salvation and through the assurance of your eternal salvation, through preaching his word into your life and preaching the truth and helping you to deal honestly with what's going on. I mean, is that like is that the description? What did he do for you?
Okay, before I
mean,
came
you
to
were
the,
on drugs and alcohol.
You've been in the church all
34
your life.
Years.
Okay, all your
yes,
life.
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. I was out of the church. I didn't grow up in a house that reverenced God one bit, even acknowledged God. We had Christmas, and that was for what? I mean, you know, Jesus, the Son of Jesus, was born on Christmas Day, but it meant nothing to us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Huh.
I mean, we did the little
gotcha.
Dinner gig and all
sure.
that. But the thing of it is, the turmoil in my life up until the age of 49 on December 17th, and the turmoil that so many people, even listening to this program right now, have got going on in their life right now, some contemplating suicide because they think it'll never get better.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't know how they're going to pay their mortgage and they're going to be out. Some, their spouse is playing around on them and they don't know, they're so ripped up they can't eat. Okay, I've been through all this stuff, and I'm telling you that the Lord saved my sorry tail soul for me to come and tell my brother and sister and their child that there is hope, because I know there's hope. But here's my point.
Yeah, this is good.
I had no peace then.
Yeah.
I mean, turmoil, drinking to take the edge off, snorting coke, drinking Jack Daniels to cool the edge on the coke, smoking dope. From the time I got home until I went to sleep so I could sleep 5 hours before I would wake up in the middle of the night. That's how much turmoil was in my life. I couldn't sleep. There was no peace in me. Jesus is peace. And it is something I can't explain to you. All I can say is he is peace.
And that was that, and you're saying that's sufficient to have totally changed your perspective and to make you feel like you can trust God with all the other major decisions that, you know, i.e. tsunami or whatever else is out there. You're content to trust him.
I went to Iraq, and before I went to Iraq, this man comes up to me and said, "The Lord."
We're wrapping up in a second, so make it quick.
The Lord wants me to tell you he's going to deal with you about a problem you had with authority when you were in the military. And I'm thinking, I didn't have a problem with the military. But I knew that I was hearing something that was going to happen. There was And the next day, the Lord said, I am delivering you from the fear that the power that the fear of death had over your life. And I went to Iraq, and I didn't walk in fear. I walked in confidence, and I prayed confidence on every soldier I was with.
Interesting shift.
It was like a decade ago or so, I think, when John McCain had the Straight Talk Express. But I think we've got our own version of the Straight
there
Talk Express.
That's
right. Here on the Faith Debate
yes,
Show.
Yes, sir.
Michael Payne with Take a Stand Ministries. Jonathan Schweitzer, Senior Pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner. Thank you to our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Same panel back next week with more of the same, only better, if that's possible. God bless.
Putman Plumbing makes a living by servicing their clients' needs. They make their life by how they service their clients, from the first phone call to when they leave your home when the job is done. Putman Plumbing is dedicated to providing top-of-the-line quality work. Call Putman Plumbing. That's with a P, as in your preferred plumber.
Putman Plumbing. How can we make you smile?